Welcome to Minority Corner.
With Aneke.
And James. Learn, laugh, play.
It's like Blue's Clues.
Only it's more black, gay.
And ladylike.
Get it, ladies.
All the ladies get it. All the ladies and gays, you gotta get it.
We're included this time. Thank you. Thank you. I was watching you to make sure we were gonna be included. I appreciate that. Let's do it.
This week on Minority Corner.
What you got for me, girl?
I am talking about some black people and mental health.
Okay, that's not what I thought you were going to say.
I know, it's totally off the wall, but you know what? We need to talk about it. We don't talk about it that much.
Good. Yeah, we need to talk about the mental health stuff. We need to talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm into it.
Well, what are you talking about then?
Well, Aneke, you know me. Call me Political Jimmeroo. Is that what the kids are calling me?
That's a long nickname, but all right.
Well, we're still in the home stretch of the political season, and there is still so much to talk about. There's been two debates, and we're going to break it down. Most importantly, you know, Hillary Clinton talked about the basket of deplorables weeks ago. So I want to break that down. Who are these basket of deplorables? Was Hillary Clinton wildly wrong?
Okay.
I don't know. We'll find out. So I'm going to introduce you to the basket of deplorables.
That sounds like a corner that I'm a little hesitant to go into, but I will hold your hand and we will both dip our toes into the basket waters of deplorables and swim around.
You sound scared, but I got your back, girl. All
right.
But what if in like a weird twist it turns out you were one of the basket of deplorables?
Wait, is it a basket of deplorables or is it plural? Everybody's a basket of deplorables.
Oh, that's a great question. I thought it was like a basket of deplorables, like apples, because it's like apple picking season, and so you're going around picking up
fall.
It's also a weird metaphor, but we'll get into that.
I would be a deplorable in the basket.
Yeah.
With the others.
Well, it's like you go to like, you know, Costco and you're like, "Hello, sir, can I get a basket of deplorables?"
And he's like, "Leave my store."
He's like, "Get the fuck out of here." Unless he's in like Pennsylvania. But we'll get to that.
Take your ass to Food Max because they got more baskets.
They got more basket deplorables there. Well, there goes our Food Max. They're never going to advertise for us.
No, I take it back. Food Max, we love you. Food Max, take it to the max.
We just gave them free advertising. Yay. All right, let's get to it.
I forgot to say my favorite part.
Oh, what?
To maximize your shopping power, Food Max.
If your erection lasts for more than 3 hours, do something about it. Food Max. You've got that Food Max song stuck in
there. Take it to the max, to maximize your shopping power, Food Max.
So that's what Jennifer Hudson's doing these days. She's singing the ads
Food Max. It sounds like
it's a guy?
It's like a real soulful white guy.
You know
it's
what
like
that
a
reminds?
Michael McDonald.
Yes. I love those like jingle jangle type people or those people who sing the intros to like theme songs. Like the lady who's singing like on Step by Step who was singing for her life.
Step by step, day by day.
And she is like singing like her life depends on it. Like someone has a gun to her family and they're like, "You better sing."
She's like crying.
I'm gonna blow their brain.
Day by day.
So don't shoot them. I'm scared. That's literally what's happening. It used to happen like on all like the 90s was like full of like people just singing for their lives. And like, who are these people?
I don't know.
Are they?
We need to bring them back.
I wonder if any of them are listeners.
We need to bring back the soulful jingle.
And not even just for like cartoon shows, like, you know, Gummy Bears and Darkwing Duck had like a very soulful theme tune. Yeah, it was like, "When there's trouble, you call DW. Darkwing Duck.
Ooh.
Let's get dangerous."
Yes.
Like Gummy Bears.
Gummy bears.
Bouncing here and there and everywhere.
We are the Gummy Bears.
We're doing a mashup. Chippendale.
Rescue Rangers.
Right? Like, who are these people? Like,
we need more of that.
Who maybe just had like a jam band and there's just some like agent who's like walking down the street eating a lollipop.
What?
And he just hears some, he just hears a band jamming out, and he's like, you will be singing the theme song to Gummy Bears. Is that what happened?
This sounds wild. It sounds like the plot to Glitter, because that movie made no sense.
You know what this literally, know what I need?
What do you
need? I need like a life, I need a Lifetime original movie that tells the story and journey of all of these singers.
I'm into
their,
it.
Their band.
Let's petition that.
And I,
Lifetime jingle movie.
Well, yeah, the jingles.
Hashtag Lifetime bet, like, jingle movie. The jingle movie.
I bet you it like went into like, the drama is real. Because they were like, this is our big break. And, you know, the lead singer, like he or she, you know, step by step, she wanted to do her own thing. She ended up in like drugs, rehab.
Oh,
I want to hear it all.
Or just
and
like,
you know, they made like $3,000. But
yeah. It, well, no, you make a lot of money from jingles because every time they play it. It is like...
But that's jingles. We're talking about theme songs to cartoon shows in the 90s.
That's very true. That's a low level. But I really want the producer to be like hella brutal, to be like, again, again, sing it with more power.
She sang that step-by-step clip for like 80 takes. Darkwing Duck took 192 all the way through. It was a beast. Anyways, how are
yeah, wow,
how are you
that
doing?
Was a tangent. I'm good. I am a little tired, but not as tired as I was last week. We had a low ass low
if you're just,
energy.
If last week was your first week, you're like, oh, this is a very nice, quiet, informative, relaxing episode. Well, we've changed the script.
Welcome
We're talking
back.
About well, more singing, more Jennifer Hudson impressions. I just awkwardly pinched my nipple. I just...
You did?
Yeah.
Your nipple
you
is just, like,
out.
Right below the camera, so I can't see
oh,
it.
Oh, good. So now I can touch my nipple as much as I want to.
You could
to.
Be wearing a shirt that literally cuts right above the nipple, and I wouldn't know.
Why? That's a very elaborate plan to wear shirts that are... Is just, that, that's not even a crop top. What is that? If it's a shirt that's cut up right above my nipples,
that
is
extreme
a,
crop.
A trim crop.
Extreme crop.
Oh, extreme crop.
Yeah.
I'm into it. We're going to make a... We're going to... you can order online.
Yes.
Soon. Coming soon.
Just...
Minority Corner extreme trim crop tops.
Just
you ready
right
for,
above your cheeches.
Yeah. Getting you ready for that
summer
2017.
For your
Never
awkward
too
tans.
Early to start.
For your awkward Girl. Shoulder. If you have sensitive shoulders.
Ooh. I know I love a good sensitive shoulder. Did you start watching Luke Cage?
I did. I watched the first episode.
Me too. Good. We're on the same pace.
Okay,
I watched
good.
The first episode as well.
I liked it.
I had to rewatch it again because I was trying to have a friend catch up. And then
yeah. So you got
trying to stay at the same
feature.
Pace.
Okay.
At the same one. Yeah, I liked it. I like that it is, and I hear this is the theme of it. Luke Cage is like unapologetically black.
I love it. He is, but it's also very realistic. Like that's the thing that irritates me, that unapology black just means being yourself.
Totally. And absolutely. Like it's just a black show. It doesn't try to hide the fact that it's black.
No.
Whereas like sometimes I would even say it doesn't necessarily now, but it took Scandal a while to really
yes.
acknowledge like that it's a black, like she's a black woman.
Right.
I think because it had a different agenda, it was literally trying to just show like, hey, she's a woman, you know, she's a human being.
And she has a job that's like high powered and she's doing her thing.
And then the race stuff came into it because,
right.
you know, but I like that this show is just at the very forefront. It just like, it's like, it's black folks. And sometimes, guess what, folks?
We're
sometimes
black.
Black people talk about, and we talk about being black sometimes. And we talk about things that are just like specific to black culture and
right.
black life. It happens.
Sometimes we listen to Raphael Sadiq in a club. Leave us alone.
Exactly. Get out of my face. You know what I love?
What?
I live in the world of the Marvel Netflix series.
Harley?
Well, twofold. Watch this.
Okay.
Watch
oh,
the magic
uh-oh.
As this happens, as
I'm
I
ready.
Break this down for you. I work in Hell's Kitchen, where both Daredevil and Jessica Jones take place.
Ooh.
And I live in Harlem, where Luke Cage is all up doing his thing.
Oh, yeah, that's right, because Mariah is, like, doing her, like, political thing in Harlem, where it's like, keep Harlem black.
And are you, remember, I had already
yes,
prophesized that... if you guys don't know this, I had talked about Luke Cage for like months, almost a year ago.
Go back.
Alfre Woodard would be cast as Mariah. In the comic book, she's called Black Mariah.
Which is
like
come on.
And she's like 800 pounds and has like strong fists. But this is what's interesting about the history of Luke Cage is that what I find fascinating about and only one episode in is that Luke Cage was written in the 70s and was very much kind of like, and I think it was written by like two white guys.
Yeah,
it was, and it was done in the style of, you know, the sort of blaxploitation.
Yes, very Shaft, very Foxy Brown, very Afrocentric and like beat and, up a motherfucker, kind of that sort of thing.
And what I think is so fascinating about it is like, it's like this series acknowledges it, it sees it.
It does.
Sees it and turns right. You know, like it.
Yes.
It doesn't, and it does it in a more
subtle,
and just more, yeah, like it's clearly like produced. There are some black people on the production team of this.
Oh, for sure. And they have the hints, like the music is such a callback to that era. Because it's all like a little bit disco, a little like, and he's like walking down the street and soulful, but it isn't hitting you over the head.
And it's not that sort of campy blaxploitation. It is just like, this is black. It's like embracing, loving and celebrating black culture.
It is.
And one of the things I thought was a really great moment, this is a little bit of a, it's not really a spoiler if you haven't seen it, it's just in the first episode,
mm-hmm.
but backstory about Luke Cage is that he started Heroes for Hire. And so he was a superhero that you had to pay him for him to save you. That was his
shady
thing, right?
Shady as hell. Shady.
And so what's interesting is that in that very first episode, he saves the day and the woman offers to pay him for protection. And he's like, no. He turns it down.
Yes.
He says no. And I thought it was such a beautiful, interesting moment because the series literally acknowledges what they did in the 70s. They're like, we're going to do this right.
Right. And also, I have to give them credit because Marvel has been under attack recently with their portrayals of Asian people, specifically Doctor Strange. I'm side-eyeing you.
And coming up, and Luke Cage, which is the next series in the Defenders series. This is Luke Cage.
Yeah.
Who is this?
Iron Fist.
What's my name? Yeah. Iron Fist, which is it's the next one. Because it's Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Iron Fist.
Defenders.
And they're all leading up to the Defenders series. Mm-hmm. And we talked about this, but Iron Fist is going to be it's a white dude, which that's what he is in the comics, but it's 2016.
Like, and also, he's, like, dealing with martial arts, so they should have took the chance and casted an Asian man. But what I was going to say is they were really good with and pointing out the fact that the couple that Luke saves, they're Asian, but they don't have an accent. They're older Asian couple and they don't have an accent. And so many people on Twitter and all the, you know, social media things were super excited because that's such a normal, weird, gross thing in media that they do. And it's not, having an accent isn't gross, but it's just nice to portray an older Asian couple as just being American and just being there, you know? Like, not all older Asian couples have accents. Some do, some don't. It's time to show the other half.
You know, I didn't even notice that. Thank you for pointing that out.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm still in quite the quandary and the dilemma because you know I don't miss a Marvel nothing. I even watch Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I don't miss nothing Marvel. But here's my problem is that I just don't know that I can get that I can do Iron Fist. I think it would have been such a great opportunity for them to do because essentially he goes, you know, to I don't know where specifically, but he goes across the waters and he learns Asian martial arts, and what an amazing story it would have been to have an Asian American go return to his cultural origins and reconnect with his culture.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what minority doesn't think about that story?
Right.
You know?
It wouldn't be such a parallel to Doctor Strange, like, which is coming out at the same time. Like, change it up.
Well, and if you look at the Defenders series so far, it seems like it would have went in line with it. Daredevil, like, he's got this disability that he's a blind white guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Typical, we have a white hero. Got it. Jessica Jones, we have a female, you know, lead, and she's dealing with issues of, like, trauma and abuse.
And addiction.
Alcoholism, addiction, PTSD, all of that. So, that's fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
And then Luke Cage is dealing with all kinds of, like, you know, being black in America.
And a widower. Right? He lost his wife. He's grieving.
Totally. And then we get to, like, you know, Danny Rand, who I think he's, like, his family has millions of dollars. And
stop it. He's a rich man, too?
Yeah. I think they're fighting over a company, I believe. And he has to go to Asia and learn martial arts.
Oh, my God.
So It's like one of these things is not like the other. It's like, and that, what's your problem? I have too much money,
I'm rich.
I went to go learn martial arts because I could afford to do that over in Asia.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I'm keeping my fingers crossed that they'll throw a little spicy action in there.
And they did cast this like hot Asian actor guy. Saw him with his shirt. That's, you know, my first thing is like, great, let's see the pictures without their clothes on. That's me. I like to, you know,
a little bit of right objectification before you acceptability.
That's how I fell in love with Drake. I saw him with his shirt off and I was like, okay, I'm gonna listen to his music now. And I'll tell you this, I was listening to the Drake album today. It's good to cook too.
It's not bad. It's a good mellow.
It's 20 tracks long.
He fucking loves some Caribbean beats. He's real thirsty for some Rihanna.
He's like, look at me, Rihanna. Look what I'm doing for you.
Can you see my baby? Beat? Do you hear my rhythm? I'm Drake. Love me. Wah.
Pump up the jam, Aneke's corner. Here we go. She's gonna pump it. She's gonna pump it up. Do you know who that was?
Make my day. I grew up thinking that they were saying get your booty on the butt line, but that is not what they were saying.
No, they're saying shake your booty on the floor tonight, make my day.
See, I'm not a lyric person. I still think get your booty on the butt line is the best, though.
I used to be on the dance floor of elementary school, and by dance floor, I mean like, you know,
auditorium,
the playground, the four square ball, the basketball court. I turned that into the dance floor. I don't know about anybody else.
Can I ask real quick though, since you brought it up, why as Americans do we learn how to four square dance in elementary school?
I meant like four square.
But did you learn how to square dance?
Yeah, we did.
But why?
But like, because it's an American pastime, and you need to learn how to a la man left. I don't know about you, but that comes in handy all the time. At least out here in the mean streets of New York,
square
learning
dancing?
How to a la man left. Yeah, I got an a la man left all the time.
And you got a do-si-do.
I got a do-si-do all the time. But that's what I referred to as the dance floor was the basketball court. The four square ball court, tetherball court, those were the dance floor. So I used to go up to everybody and I used to like challenge them with that.
I believe
make
it.
My day.
Make my day.
Make my day.
Okay, you ready for this?
Never.
Because we're about to go a little dark.
Okay.
We're gonna go back up. It's gonna be a roller coaster.
Okay. All right, take me on this ride.
Okay. So recently Kid Cudi, you know who Kid Cudi is?
I've heard of him. I've dabbled.
Day and night.
Oh.
Do 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 do. And then there's na 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 na. Anyways,
those are like good songs. Like
yeah.
Sunday drinking.
Yeah. He's a very good mellow artist. Well, recently he just checked himself into rehab. But not for drugs or alcohol. It's basically he checked himself into rehab to help work himself through his struggles with depression and suicidal thoughts. So lately he's been kind of going down a tailspin, texting crazy things, being all over the place, being very just kind of a downward spiral. So he took it upon himself, which I thought is super commendable, and checked himself in to get some help, which I think is super important and brings up this one topic that we as Black folks don't necessarily talk about that often. And that is mental health.
Right. Yeah.
So I really wanted to cover it because, I mean, some of us do actually go to therapy. Some of us have tried. Some of us haven't really talked about it. It's definitely not something that I've noticed in families or make it a tradition to go seek out help.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a heavy proponent of therapy. I've had a therapist for years. I make it a usual rule of thumb to not date someone who's not in therapy. My graduating advice from acting school his last words to us were, get into therapy now. Most people wait before it's too late.
It's so true.
So big fan of therapy. Everybody getting up in the therapy.
But can I ask you, James, Would you say that...
Am I the only person in my family who's in therapy?
Or were you guided to therapy through possible family members too?
No, not at all. Right? That's interesting because I'm the only person in my family who is in therapy. And they've even tried when certain, you know, people have passed away. But they just...
We don't do it.
Well, and also, I mean, I think my fam... For me personally... Sorry to just jump in here.
Yeah,
but
no, this
I
is
think,
good.
And maybe you're gonna talk about this. But I think a lot of it also has to do with a lot, not all, because the episode of Blackish just touched on this.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of Black folks are connected to the church.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's mm-hmm. where they get their... They'll talk to a pastor or
right.
they'll pray on it. And so they don't necessarily...
go to a professional. And I'm,
although the latest episode of Blackish did just talk about that one of the daughters was questioning her faith.
Mm-hmm.
Not all Black people are religious.
It's true. And it's and you're bringing up good points that I wasn't even going to talk about the church thing because I'm going to cover some other things. But I think a lot of Black people in the Black community, we tend to... want to be strong, and I'm gonna and we substitute that with Jesus and prayer and all that, and that goes back mm-hmm. to slavery, and it's also kind of what was put upon us because it's a Christianity is a colonizing religion, but
absolutely, yeah.
But anyway, so what I was gonna go into, and thank you so much because that gives us a little background, James. Like,
okay, right,
we. Both you and I know we're both Black. We have Black families, and they are not
yeah,
therapy-going people.
They are not. And what's interesting is we both come from – I've come from a religious family, and you don't come from a religious family,
right.
And your family still does not go to therapy.
Exactly. Exactly.
Interesting. Okay. I am interested.
Yeah. So – and, I mean, I don't really know – I can't speak for all of my family because I don't really know – you know.
Yeah. They're... No, I know. I have like 48 first cousins.
Yeah,
there could be someone else. But it's not like... And the difference is like out here in New York, like everyone's got like a therapist or a psychiatrist, you know?
Right. And that's exactly what I was going to go into. Because when you think of therapy sessions or when you see therapy on television, how it's portrayed, generally, and I'm sure all of you who are listening right now, no matter what you are, when just imagine we're going to do a little like imagination thing. Close your eyes. If you're driving, don't close your eyes. But just like visualize. Visualize
keep
a couch.
If you're in the middle of sex, you can keep them open or closed.
Don't listen to us during this. Don't do that.
You know what? I'm not going to tell you what to do.
That's true. I'm not yucking your yum, but it's my voice, so don't.
I'm kind of into it. Are you close?
No. Stop it. Cold water bath. Okay.
Rosie O'Donnell in a snowstorm.
Okay. So when you are thinking of therapy sessions, you usually think about either a white man or a white woman talking about their issues. You hardly ever, like I would never really think about like a Black woman specifically sitting in the chair telling her life. And in fact, it's the opposite usually. And I've been noticing this trend, my own personal study, that a lot of therapists that are shown on television are Black women. Like in Mr. Robot, the therapist is a Black woman. In Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, the therapist is a Black woman. And then there's reality shows like Ivanya Saved My Life. And let's face it, Oprah's everybody's therapist. So
that's
these
true. She's
are,
the world's therapist.
Yeah. And they're basically perpetuating that nurturing trope of a Black woman. At one point, Ivanya, who's crazy, but she was like, rest your head on my bosom to like the lady who she was trying to give some therapy to.
I think that's, I don't know if that's an appropriate, it took me 3 years to get my first hug from my therapist. He was definitely not,
she's,
rest your head on my bosom.
James, she's inappropriate. Vanya is inappropriate. I binge watched that show one time and she's a lot. I mean, she's great. Support her. Black girl magic. Love you, Ivanya, but sometimes you get into some territories that are a little wild. Okay, so why are Black people, and I'm going to focus kind of on Black women, but I like to include everyone in the Black, because Black people in general don't go to therapy. So why are we so stigmatized and stereotypically against mental health and taking care of ourselves mentally? Well, first, I want to say that this all stems from these stereotypes that have been perpetuated since slave times. And there's two that apply to women. The first one is the mammy, and the second one is the Jezebel. And there's other ones too, but just to let, we're only going to focus on one, but just to let everybody know that Jezebel is usually a mixed-race woman. She's sex-crazed, hella sexy, just got to get it all the time. And you can see that in streams throughout all media, even today. But we're not going to talk about that. Mm-hmm. What we are going to talk about is the mammy stereotype. And now the mammy is, she's dark-skinned, she's fat or overweight, you know, highly desexualized, usually has a headscarf, Aunt Jemima types, caretaker. This is the woman who takes care of the white children and the black children. Strong is the key word that I want to say. And now this is huge. It extends all the way through from slave times till now. You could still see that. Right. Like, the myth has been internalized by black folks. We can't help it. We're seeing these images all the time too.
Right.
Which is why when white women are allowed to be saved, you know, like damsel in distress, black women are the flip coin of that, and we have to save ourselves. Like, we are the ones who are taking care of the babies. We're taking care of ourselves. We're taking care of the family. That's kind of the stereotype. Like, even recently.
And, like, usually your husband is either dead, ran away, or in jail.
Right?
Yeah.
And you got, like, six babies. It's this stereotype. So, I mean, even in the Disney movie, The Princess and the Frog, that nobody fucking saw, but still
was
out there and
was
good.
Wait, people didn't see that movie? What people didn't see
people
that movie?
People don't even include Tiana in The Princesses.
I'm very confused. Because I feel like I see her on backpacks. I see her, like, she's one of the five. She's the top. She's in the five. It's like her.
It's like one of the lowest rated movies.
I saw her on a backpack, I will typically see the following. Snow White, Cinderella, the one who was sleeping. What was her name? Sleepy Susan.
Sleeping Beauty.
She's there, sleeping. I don't know why she's there. She slept
but I'm
forever.
Just saying.
Oh, and then Tatiana and Jasmine.
Not a lot of people looked at it.
Well, okay. I just pump the brakes here for a second? If you're a listener and you've not seen Princess and the Frog, you need to change that.
Go see it. Support it. It's a good movie, except for the fact that she has to save her broke-ass prince, too.
Right. But did you know that Beyonce wanted that role, but she didn't want to have to audition for it?
Well, you know what?
Like, coming for audition. And this is before she was, like, Beyonce. Like, this was, you know.
Beyonce can get whatever she wants. I don't feel sorry for her. So, what I wanted to point out was that in the Disney movie, she is not even in good because it's modern and she shouldn't be saved. But she also has to save the prince, too. Mm-hmm. Like, he literally is broke and she has to create her own business to make sure that he's not, you know, broke anymore. Mm. So we can't even get it in fantasy. We're constantly having to take on all of this, like, be strong. And that's why Carefree Black Girl is a thing on Twitter, because it's a black woman being happy and joyful and showing emotion that isn't just stoic and, you know, angry or resilient. Like, we can be sensitive too.
Would you have preferred if she had been rescued? Like, you wish that?
No, I would prefer it if he was rich and she was rich and they got together instead of her saving his ass.
Okay. All right.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean?
No, I do.
Or if they, like, came together and figured it out, or, you know, like a partnership. Like, she doesn't have to be saved, but she doesn't have to be, like, I don't know. I'm just sick of seeing black women having to, in media tropes, be the one to do everything.
Okay, fair enough. Yep.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so on top of that, black people are internalizing shootings, profilings, disrespect on a daily basis. All of this stuff is just weighing heavy on us.
Yeah.
And according to the Summary of Health Statistics, National Health Interview Survey, African Americans are 10% more likely to report having serious psychological distress than non-Hispanic whites, yet are less likely to seek help.
Yeah, it made me think when you were just talking just now. Because I say this too. I said this I say this to all my LGBT folks, that I think all LGBT people should be in therapy at some point because there's trauma that comes along with that. And I think the same thing, it just popped in my head too. If you're black, you should definitely be in therapy because the trauma of what it is to be black and in this country, the constant stress that we have learned to constantly have in the back of our head to normalize, right, to deal with. There's so much at work in a society that was not designed for you, and we see it everywhere we turn. All black people should be in therapy. In fact, we didn't get our 40 acres and a mule, but we should get some free-ass therapy.
Exactly. And so on top of that, with all the stress that we're internalizing, when we do reach out for help, mental health or not, we tend to get overlooked. Mm. And so there's this story, July 19th in 2008, this woman, Esmond Elizabeth Green, she died in the waiting room of King County Hospital Center in Brooklyn. She had been waiting for 24 hours because she had pain in her legs. And it turns out she had blood clots in her legs. And while she was waiting for 24 hours to get help, the clots moved up her legs, went into her lungs, and she collapsed out of her chair. She was laying motionless on the floor. Security cameras, they showed that she lay there for 30 minutes while security guards just walked past her.
In a fucking hospital.
Right.
In a
hospital. Fucking. Where she's trying to go to get some help.
Fucking hospital.
And she was only 49. So, one, this is two different things, and now I'm going to go into the good part, okay, of my thing.
All right.
I just wanted to set it up.
Yeah, my heart is breaking.
Self-advocacy. Y'all need to self-advocate. I said this before when I was going through my vagina problems, my uterus problems. I was straight up told that my shit was whatever. It was common. It was, don't worry about it. You'll be fine. And then when I pushed, I found out that I needed to have the surgery.
Right.
You got to push. You got to push. And like James said, if you are black and you're not in therapy, and that's me, I'm not.
You need to go.
It's good to go. Try and find a therapist, because even if you don't think anything pressing is going on in your life, you're still internalizing all of this visual stuff and pain and looks and all of that. Mm-hmm. So if you get one thing from this little segment of mine, go get some help.
Oh, and can I direct people on, some people might be thinking like, ah, oh, fuck, but therapy's hella expensive. Not necessarily. I'm pretty sure at least in all major cities, if you're near a major metropolitan city, almost all of them have, therapists have to go to another, after they get trained, there's a secondary training that they have to do. They have to log in a certain amount of hours. So they've gone through a program. They're ready to go, but they're going to come in at much cheaper rates. A lot of times it's sliding scale, and you can get sessions for as low as like, you know, between $30 to $60. And trust me, this is an investment into your own self, because there are if you think like, oh no, I'm totally fine, there are things there that are absolutely worth unpacking so you can really fully embrace and love your own self and just understand, and there's nothing wrong with it. It's the society that you're living in, the trauma of what it means to essentially not be a straight white man in America. You're gonna go through there's trauma and experiences, and you know, also depending on, you know, where you live and where you grew up or whatnot. So
exactly, it's so true.
You deserve it. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm a huge fan.
Yeah. So it's one, it's super important, and then two, also look into other ways that you can express yourself. I just want to end on this note that there was this show that happened in Britain that was hosted by this woman, Nicole Crystal Krentzel. She basically compiled all of these black women artists, and they had a show called Unmasked. And the show is now over, but several artists expressed what they felt by going through mental health and self-advocacy. And I just want to say a couple of the artists. One was Heather Agapony, A-G-Y-E-P-O-N-Y. She did a photo series, so check her out. It's called Too Many Black Amours, and it revisits the story of Lady Sarah Forbes Bonita, the West African adopted granddaughter of Queen Victoria, Ooh. Who came to live in England in the 19th century. So Heather Agapone, she took photos of her that kind of mimicked Bonita's photos.
Right.
And it connected her traumas with the same traumas that Bonita had while both of them were in Europe. So that's fascinating.
Wow.
Juliana Kazumi, she's also did photographs of Black women hairstyle, exploring identity and history. And two partnerships that helped inspire and connected Unmask the Show. Cool Tan Arts is a mental health charity, focuses on the importance of creativity and provides an internship for 5 young Black women. That's called Cool Tan Arts.
Ooh.
And then finally, there's Black British Girlhood, which connects Black girls with a zine to make their own personal zine that focuses on themes of Black women's mental health. So there are people out there doing things, connect with other people, get some therapy, talk about it.
Yes.
Try and find your inner peace if you want to go to yoga, if you need to do whatever. Self-care is so important for all of
especially
us.
Especially because we're just being berated with so much imagery, which I do think is absolutely important, but we do necessarily make sure that we're also taking care of ourselves and having those outlets and unpacking all of those things. So I really appreciate that. And you also made me realize that's why people love Oprah so much, because she is like the mammy of the world.
I know. It's bad. But you know what? Oprah made a butt ton of money off being
not mad at it, because
world mammy.
Oprah,
I'm not mad at it.
Not mad at it at all.
But also, that's good that you noticed that, because see how those stereotypes persevere and keep going through?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much. Everybody, go get into therapy. Actually, like, I have a call for arms for everybody to get up in therapy, but Gladys's, my Black lesbians in a wheelchair, to the front of the line.
I'm about to go get some therapy, too. I need to, because Lord knows I need to talk about some of just what's been going on in the climate of the United States.
And just also,
man,
not even just that, it's just honestly, unpack, like, your life. Like, there's things that, like, you don't even realize that are these traumas there, that these little landmines of things just to unpack, and it's only going to do good things for you. So I say,
so true.
Go, girl, and I can recommend someone.
Ooh, thank you.
Well, coming up next, I'm going to do impressions of Melania Trump for 20 minutes.
Yay! Kinda. James. Corner. James.
Basket of
James,
deplorables.
James.
Basket of Corner. Deplorables. Who are they?
Why'd you gotta bring that?
Oh, I thought we were collaborating. I was trying to stop, collaborate, and listen. That's what
Who started that phrase? Where did that come from? Sure.
Pretty sure. I remember very correctly. He said,
also,
like,
people
four
have
scores.
Been fact checking us on Facebook.
Oh, really?
So thanks.
Thanks. Wow. Good. Good. You know what? You know, don't let us, I'm not trying to trump things.
No.
Fact check us. Let us know. All right. So we are titty deep. We are titty balls, dick, butthole deep.
Gross.
And
we're just going. What? Where are we?
That's how deep
we are. I don't want to be that deep in that stuff.
No, well, we are. That's how deep we are into the political season. We are titty, butthole, dick, vagina, pussy deep.
So,
I mean, it's just locker room talk, really.
So you're telling me we really need those extreme crop tops.
Yeah, we really do need them, because we're deep in it, and we got to keep ourselves warm.
Yes.
Because we have a crotchless left. We have a crotchless thong. That is Minority Corner as well.
Oh, yeah.
So anyways, the election is full, it's in full butt blast, and two debates have happened.
Gross.
Since we last discussed.
Can I just say something real quick? Can I just say something real quick?
Yeah, okay.
We were also dubbed explicit.
So if you didn't know, and you were like, all right, little Susie, 4 years old, let's listen to Minority Corner.
We're nasty.
I'm all about it.
So apparently.
I'm all about it, because my theme has always been kids gotta learn. Kids gotta learn. So I'm all about the education train. Woo,
that's
woo.
Our new,
titties, balls, deep.
That's our new tagline. It's like Blue's Clues, because kids gotta learn.
Kids gotta learn. Woo, woo. Titty, balls, deep. Is that also on there, too? All right. So Hillary Clinton, like a few weeks ago, got slammed. She was at some private event. And she was talking about, she essentially said about, you know, half of Donald Trump supporters, you could put them in a basket of deplorables because they're racist, they're sexist, mm-hmm. they're xenophobic.
But did she give those examples?
Did she give the examples of, like, specifically why?
Yeah,
did I think
she,
what
yeah.
she's referencing is everything that he said since his first yeah. speech when he called all Mexicans rapists and everything he said thereafter. Because her mindset yeah. is that if you're going to be following this leader who is saying those things, you on some level are okay with those things. And we've seen proof of it. We've seen the videos yeah. of people yelling, you know, at these, you know, horrible things, you know, go back to Mexico and make my tacos yeah. or whatever, right? So
yeah,
and I will say this too.
Nazi salutes and shit.
And she said half, and then she said the other half, you know, are people who feel that America's forgotten them. They've lost their jobs. They're feeling that the economy is down and that nobody mm-hmm. cares about them. And Hillary Clinton got slammed for this, and because she said it. And while I think, like,
I mean, I hate to say it, but it's not that surprising. I mean, if you're following somebody that says, like, disgusting things, you either feel like you have no other options or you're a disgusting person.
So, but here's the thing. So my whole entire thing is we're going to talk about, do you know who these basket of deplorables are? Do you know any of them?
No, but I do like that they are in a basket.
Because it's easier to carry them around and throw them away. Who are these basket deplorables? And was Hillary Clinton wrong? Was that, you know, a lot of people are like, that's not right of her. It's almost on the same level that, you know, to be called a racist is the worst thing you can call someone.
Nobody likes being called a racist, but they'll say racist things.
So let's take a look at, like, who are these people who are even, what are Trump's numbers look like when we break them down to people who are not white men? So how is Donald Trump...
we're about to get so census on here.
How is Donald Trump polling with blacks? He's at 0%. He's at 0% are favoring him. 97%...
What about Ben Carson?
97%, not enough to make up a single percent. So 97% are unfavoring him and 3% are undecided. Although I'm pretty sure after last night's debate, when the one black guy asked Donald Trump how he was going to unite the country, and Donald Trump specifically immediately started talking about the inner cities as if all black people just live in the inner city, which 1993 called and wants its racist term back. I'm pretty sure all the black folks are now decided, so he's still at 0%. And then when we move to Hispanic voters, Trump has actually been touting, because he's been using SurveyMonkey, and SurveyMonkey has him up at about 32%, which is higher than Mitt Romney.
Oh, wow.
But if we take other ones, they have him much more closer down between 18 to 23%. And then I was thinking, I was like, how is this possible? Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, Latinx voters, he's saying horrible, horrible things about mm-hmm. Latinx folks.
Bullshit.
Xenophobic type shit, yeah. right? So, but here's the thing, is that, you know, polling for Latinos is actually kind of off in that it tends to have, like, very small numbers. So sometimes it's like they only have, like, 100 or 80 Latinos that they're even polling from. So can't really run facts on people based on, like, 100
people.
So
the stats are
off.
And,
yes. And one thing I do want to point out for all of our when we're talking about the importance of getting voters out there as well, back in 2012, only 48% of eligible Latinos even cast ballots. And that's compared with 67% of whites and 64% of blacks. Latino voters aren't voting. I think that's what the statistics are showing, right? Mm-hmm. So even more important why, like, you know, the work that Eva... I talked about her several times. Hey. I champion the work that Eva Longoria is doing. Less than half of Latino voters are voting. And this even goes back to what we talked to you about before. Well, of course, if you're living in a country where they're telling you to go back and we want to build a wall and they're not even teaching your own cultural history in this country, so then of course you're like, fuck this place, right?
It's bullshit.
So I totally get it. Then we would look at LGBT voters. Only about 20% are voting for Trump, which I'm like, what? That is way too fucking high.
What is going on?
But again, I would probably, I would then, what we know percentage-wise, mm-hmm. zero of them are black LGBT folks. So it's not my people. It's not my community. So look around. And I would even wager, and then if we look at, like, women, We have about 47% are with Clinton, 34% for Trump, and 17% are saying, I don't
34?
Know. And that's based on a poll that 34% for Trump. But this is, that was taken back on August 5th.
Oh.
And this is not after this last past weekend's events when Trump's latest video escapade with him with Billy Bush, which I'm going to circle back to in the end, where Trump was essentially talking about how he can kiss any woman that he wants and he can just grab him by the pussy because, you know, and essentially talking about sexually assaulting women because he can because he's Donald Trump.
And it's disgusting.
Absolutely disgusting. And I want to circle back onto that. And I also want to point out that if, do you know what website these women who are voting for Trump go to?
Oh, no.
Very into investigative journalism. And so I signed up for their email.
James.
I want other email blasts. But I maybe used your name because I figured that they would see that I was a guy.
Did you really use my name?
No, not at all. Yes. But it's going to my email account.
I don't want my name associated with that.
I'm sorry, but
why couldn't you pick like a fake name?
Because I thought they would see right through it. So then we have the breakdown of who's actually voting for Trump. And so are these people actually deplorables? So let's take a look and see what the percentage of voters are talking about when we're talking about things that Trump has said. So 79% of Clinton voters believe the treatment of racial and ethnic minorities is an important issue. Only 42% of Trump supporters feel that way. Breaking down more facts and figures, about two-thirds of Republicans have a favorable opinion of Donald Trump said that Obama is a Muslim. And about 59% said he wasn't even born in the United States.
This is why I don't want to be associated with them.
But and so, and, oh, I see. Yeah. But it's like we can get their information and we can, like, you know, see what they're talking about.
Delete undercover, my name.
Undercover Aneke. So,
no.
But the Obama thing and the Muslim thing is like a really key important thing because that is all so incredibly rooted in racism. And they said that nearly 50% said that blacks were more violent than whites. Trump supporters. So again, we're talking about, she said half were a basket of deplorables. So far, it's looking like that statistic is actually holding up, right? If we're saying that deplorables are people who are, you know, racist and sexist and xenophobic, she's defining it. And so about more than 40% said that blacks were more rude than whites, and more than 30% said that blacks were lazier than whites.
That tired-ass stereotype is still persisting? Jesus.
Well, we only got 30 more percent left, and it's almost out the door. More than 70% of Trump supporters believe that Muslim people are more violent than whites. Roughly 60% of non-Trump Republicans say this. And we also go into some other interesting statistics that I found. This was a poll conducted by Reuters back in June and July. About 58% of Trump supporters said that they have a somewhat unfavorable or very unfavorable view of Islam, compared to only about 24% of Clinton supporters. So when we talk about terrorism, this one I thought was so interesting. So there was a survey from the Pew Research Center, and they said about 36% of Clinton supporters call terrorism a very big problem, whereas 65% of Republican and Trump supporters said that it was a very big problem. What I find is so fascinating about this is I'm like, what the fuck are you so damn afraid of? Where have terrorists been attacking? New York, where I live, right?
Yeah.
Where it's full of liberals in diversity.
Right.
Terrorists have attacked
churches,
gay clubs, colleges, movie theaters. But wait, oh wait, oh wait, that's right. That was actually done by U.S. citizens, which that actually opens up a question about guns. But for some reason, you're concerned about terrorism and don't want to talk about guns. I'm actually really fucking confused here. It's like some of these people, like, no one's coming after buttfuck Mississippi or where the fuck am I, Nebraska? And
people,
so, like, it's
scared.
So fascinating.
People are scared of the unknown and getting their privileges taken away. That's exactly what all of this is.
But that's not an excuse.
It's not an excuse at all. It's fucked up.
Even so, I'm so fascinated by that. And so, you know, Mexican, the quote that kicked off his entire campaign saying that, you know, Mexican immigrants are rapists and bringing crime and bringing drugs to the U.S. About on a Fox News poll, 70% said that, setting aside Trump's wording, that his comments were basically right, compared to just 25% of Democrats.
God.
right? So when you look at these numbers and you look at these factors, you know, 73% of Republicans support building a wall to the U.S.-Mexico border compared to just 13% of Democrats. Her comment wasn't that far off. In fact, half was kind of reasonable.
Right. It's just that people don't, it's like, it fucking sucks. Instead of getting horrified when somebody points out that you may be racist or what you're saying is racist, instead of getting mad at that, look at what you're saying.
Yes, I totally understand that. So actually, let's get to know some of these, because I don't know any Trump, and I was very fascinated. I've been very fascinated for a long time because I don't know who any of these Trump supporters are. And so I've been really fascinated in learning more information about who these are, because even these are just numbers.
Yeah.
Because they are really actual human beings on the other side. And because of the algorithms of Facebook, none of these people are popping up in my feed, because Facebook just continues to show you people that you have things in common with and ideas that you have. I was watching some, either I think The Daily Show, you know, these people, even for, it's the same thing on their side, that they don't know anyone who's voting for Hillary Clinton. They only know these people who want to make America great again.
And this is what happened with Bernie and Hillary. Like, only Bernie supporters saw Bernie things, and only Hillary supporters saw Hillary things.
Absolutely. And so the same thing is happening. So the Washington Post had this really amazing article that was so fascinating to me. They recently did it. It's called, Finally, Someone Who Thinks Like Me. And it followed this woman named Melanie Austin. She's from Western Pennsylvania, which is actually, you know, it's one of the battleground states. The writer was following her watching the RNC convention and even just interesting things leading up to this. And so Melanie is a very interesting, she's a religious woman. She's about 52. She worked for 20 years for the railroad industry in Pennsylvania. She comes from like a family of like coal miners.
Yeah.
You know, when she was watching the RNC convention, there was some billionaire talking about prosperity and tolerance, and she's like, forget that shit. Because those are just things that are not really on her radar. Mm-hmm. So what's interesting is that, you know, she's part of the camp. I'm going to explode an entire world of people onto you that I don't think you knew existed. Because she's part of, I don't know if you knew this, but there's a camp of people, a big camp of people who believe that, well, we know this one, that Obama is a Muslim, right?
Uh-huh.
They also know, they also think that he's gay, and they also think that Michelle Obama may be a man and that they kidnap their children.
That's rude as hell. I hope you didn't sign me up for their newsletter, too.
She's coming to your house on Tuesday to have coffee and tea with you. And she calls, she's a person who, you know, she calls, you know, Trump, you know, Big Daddy, and she had seen him at a rally a year ago, back in June. And she was amazed at going to this rally of how many people felt the way that she did. Like, she felt like she had really found a home.
Oh, my God.
That she was like, you know, all these people had these thoughts themselves, and they were, what he was doing was he was galvanizing everybody to one space. They've had to live in the shadows for, like, the past 8 years, and now the great thing about this whole entire Trump effect is that it's forced all of these people who've already had these thoughts.
Yes.
It's forced them, the spotlight on them. It's about 40% of them. It has forced us to see, oh, damn, there is hella more work left to do.
Oh, hell yeah. That's the thing. I'm more afraid of Trump supporters than Trump himself. He's a big old clown, crazy person to me. His supporters are scary. Put a burning cross in front of my house. I'm scared.
Yeah, well, she had actually, the police had gone to her house, and she actually was put into the, she was involuntarily put into the hospital because had gone on a series of Facebook rants about how she believes that, you know, Obama should be hanged.
Oh, my
and
God.
And the White House should be fumigated and burned to the ground.
This is terrifying.
And next thing you know, the police, you can't say that shit about the President of the United States, even if, you know, you are a racist, you know.
Oh, my God.
You know, and there's this group of people, there's a huge group of people that believe, like, we don't see this because we don't know them and we're not a part of their Facebook feeds, but they believe that Obama is the founder of ISIS. They believe that, you know, Hillary Clinton is the co-founder. They believe that Justice Scalia was murdered and a plot involving a prostitute and a pillow. These are folks are like conspiracy theorists, and they've been conjugating online on websites that have like fucking like blown up over the past.
Wow.
She is a part of, you know, Pennsylvania where it's like 90% white.
Yeah.
And so you think about, you know, a lot of these people are losing their jobs because we're certain industries are no longer anymore. We're looking for new energy sources and
disenfranchised.
Exactly. And really the times they're changing, right? Mm-hmm. And so we have to find. And so, yeah, your job doesn't exist anymore because the industry has changed. Things are changing. And we should be looking for, and Hillary talked about this in the debate, championing new innovative ways for energy and being the leading people behind it, you know, not
so. I completely agree.
So you have these people who are living in these areas who, you know, they're seeing their world just essentially like crumble around them. And when Trump's about just that he's a Muslim, she's like, oh, yeah, that makes sense, right? You know, when Obama starts talking about things like gay marriage and letting transgender people into the bathrooms, it all comes together to her that President Obama is a gay Muslim from Kenya working to undermine America.
But she's in the minority. There aren't that many people that are this wackadoodle.
Okay, sure. Except here's some facts.
Okay.
So she gets her. So then the journalist was working with her and she was going through all these different websites and things like this. Like AmericasFreedomFighters.com, RedFlagNews.com, that report that, you know, Sasha and Malia are adopted and possibly from Morocco.
But they look exactly like Barack Obama and Michelle Obama.
I know. This is just so fascinating to me. Like, so there's like websites like InfoWars. These websites have seen a huge surge. And Hillary actually even commented on this in her speech about the Basket of Deplorables that, you know, before Trump, some of these websites had maybe like a few thousand people. These websites were getting like a few thousand people, and they're getting over now tens of millions at this point, right? Like one website in particular, InfoWars, it's getting like 6.9 million visitors per month, and that's seen a huge surge in like the last year. InfoWars, which recently, by the way, said that Barack Obama and both Hillary Clinton are possessed, that they are demon-possessed. So for many reasons, these folks don't trust the government. They think it's all filled with demons. They definitely not trusting the quote-unquote liberal media, which I guess CNN, because it has Don fucking Lemon and, ooh, Anderson Cooper. But they're definitely not going to things like Huffington Post or whatnot.
Mm.
These,
I mean,
right?
Well, a piece of me thinks, yes, it is a 24-hour news cycle and some of this stuff gets ridiculous. But the problem that I'm seeing is that instead of trying to investigate and look deeper into the issues, it's turning into a blame game. It's turning into, well, it's this person's fault. It's this group of people's fault. It's this country's fault. Instead of looking at the systems that were built and trying to understand that.
Yeah. Well, what Donald Trump has been able to tap into is that there are people, she's not the only story, but this was the first person that I really got to meet and know, because I don't know a single person. And what he's able to do is he's able to, you know, she says he really does think like me. He's saying the conspiracy type things that she is believing and she's thinking, and like you're saying, finding a scapegoat for blame that she's living in a decimated, it's not the same village and town that she had grown up into.
Right.
But the thing that I want to end on is, you know, everybody wants to talk about how, well, not everyone, like 40% of people are talking about how terrible America is and let's make America great again.
Yeah.
Beautiful, beautiful Bill Maher could kiss you on the lips and give you a little tongue.
Oh, okay. Extra special.
I like kissing, and I also, you know, I love a little intelligence. It's a little sexy, you know. So let's look at the facts. Because is America so terrible? Because, you know, Donald Trump is talking about how America is a disaster. Last night in the debate, he just talked about how what a disaster America is. He said that again and again and again. But if we look at the facts, violent crime is at its lowest since 1993.
That's good.
The military is better funded than it ever has been. So you're talking about, you know, you want to keep everything safe, right? But that's, you know, pondering
we're
the thing
safe.
About we want to, we're pretty fucking safe, folks, you know.
Right.
We're pretty fucking safe. More Americans have health care than ever. Cancer's down. Fewer people are smoking. Teen pregnancy is down. Alcohol abuse is down.
We're pretty chill.
Yeah. 8 years ago, we were losing about 800,000 jobs a month. And now we've added about 14 million.
Thanks, Obama.
The stock market went to under 7,000. It was at under 7,000, and now it's over 18,000. I don't know what those numbers mean, but it sounds good. It sounds up. So yay. Consumer sentiment is at a high. It's at its highest since it was back in the 80s during, you know, Reagan times. The economy we have now, this is Bill Maher was saying, it's better than the one that Romney proposed. Romney said that unemployment would be under 6, but now it's actually at, it's 5.
Wow. And, then, and we were just in a recession.
Yes, and Trump is saying things like it's, you know, 30 and 32 because of the people that he talks to, but that's bullshit because he's making up random things.
Yeah.
The average Trump supporter actually makes about $72,000 a year. So
wow, they're doing pretty good. $72,000?
So when they're talking about what's wrong? What is wrong? I don't understand. You're making up problems.
It's fear-mongering.
It is exactly that. And you know what it is? Mm-hmm. It is... And it's not just them, but it's a good proportion of it because we saw in the statistics that I said in the very beginning. It is these white men are terrified. Certain white men are terrified.
Yeah.
Trump's comments about grabbing, you know, a woman and fuck Billy Bush. I'm glad he just got fired.
He's the worst. He's the absolute worst. He was defending Ryan Lochte. Billy Bush is the worst.
And Al Roker totally called him on that shit. And
I know.
He had Trump, after he would, like, Trump was saying these disgusting things about, you know, women, and specifically the woman from Days of Our Lives, Ariana Zucker, who she plays Nicole, who's one of my favorite characters.
Ooh.
He had Trump, like, he was like, oh, can you give a hug for Trump and then a hug for me, after they were saying these disgusting
things.
And I just have to say, you know, and Trump is trying to compare things about what he was doing with what Bill Clinton was doing. Hillary Clinton. He's running against Hillary Clinton. Bill Clinton is not on the fucking ticket, so let's throw that out the window.
Yes,
he's turned
done.
This. I was watching the debate. It was almost like watching something out of Jerry Springer. He had, like, all of these women who had accused Bill Clinton. He had them sitting in the front row. Disgusting.
That's disgusting.
He called a press conference with these women just sitting at the table. Like, here's these women who've accused Bill Clinton of something. It doesn't negate the thing that you've done. And his apology was essentially saying that, you know, it's just locker room talk and that words don't matter. But you and
words
I both
do
know.
Matter.
Exactly. Words matter because otherwise, why are we, if words didn't matter, why were we not just having an interpretive dance off instead of a debate?
Exactly.
For leader, we don't have a battle royale and just say whoever beats up the person wins.
Right.
We have a debate because words matter. What you say matters.
Exactly.
Right? We're an intellectual society and we've moved on. And that's why we talk about the words that you use when you put it in your scruff profile, when you, you know, say like, oh, you're pretty for a black girl. Like those have meaning. And because
it's
words
so true.
Do affect other people. They affect the way that they think, right? They affect the way that they think about themselves.
Yes.
Right? And so what I'm calling for, because I think that the Trump effect, I don't think he's going to win. I think we got to still stay on it. And that's why I'm still probably going to be talking about the election every week, because I don't think we are in a place where we can't.
No, and November's right around the corner.
So what I'm calling for, because this whole entire locker room talk is an example, I'm calling for an end to bro-society.
Ooh, that's a good coin. Did you make that
I am
up?
Calling for an... I did, yeah. I was at the gym.
Nice.
And I was like, it's bro-society. I am calling for an end to bro-society. I'm declaring war on bro-society.
Yes.
Band
yes.
together. Because that's what this basket of deplorables are. It's the end of an era of bro-society. Because we're if we unite together against it, we can really start to shape this country the way it's supposed to be. And that is free for everybody.
Yes! Let's really try to, especially to all those allies out there, because I'm not going to get that locker room chit chat, you know, because I'm a woman and I'm black. I'm usually, when I walk into the room, people usually shut up about that stuff. But if you are neither of those things and you happen to encounter somebody saying something disgusting, racist, misogynist, horrible, ageist, whatever, just call it. Just be like, look, no thank you. Stop it. It's like, make it clear that it's not okay to perpetuate this type of behavior, to perpetuate this type of society where we could actually come to the brink of electing someone who
yes.
says stuff like that.
I'm going to step it up into like, challenge it. I pull up your big boy pants and challenge your friend. A lot of times people don't know what they're saying is offensive sometimes unless you tell them. And so it's an educational opportunity. You just got to call people out on their bullshit, because it's better for you to do that. And then if they're up in arms about, oh, you're an asshole and why are you challenging me on this? Do you really want that person in your life that badly? Someone who is so wanting to hang on to their bigoted ideas that are spewed in hate and fear.
Right.
You've got to ask yourself, well, the people that you surround yourself are a reflection of you. So is that person someone that you want to be a reflection of you? It's time to challenge it.
All right. Thanks, well, James. That was good. Yeah. You laid down the stats. You laid down the facts. You laid it all down, and I want you to take my name off that mailing list. Quizlet Corner, Quizlet Corner, Quizlet Corner.
Quizlet Corner featuring Melania Trump.
Oh, I guess this episode's been brought to you by Melania Trump.
starring Melania Trump and her pussy.
Bow, pussy bow. She was wearing that as, do you think that she was wearing that shirt with the pussy bow to at the debate as a protest or as
oh, like serious? She was like, because Melania Trump did say, she was like, I am not down for what he said. And she did not.
She said that?
Well, I think Michelle Obama said that.
She just repeated what Michelle Obama said.
She is Michelle Obama's number one fan.
Who isn't, though?
That's true.
Who is not?
You know Melania Trump just has fever dreams of Michelle Obama as well.
We all do. Michelle, I love you. Michelle Obama, if you're listening to this, good for you.
I hope we didn't offend you too much about, you know. Listen,
well,
if Donald Trump
like
can say
a little funk. She's
if Donald
a little
Trump
funky,
can say pussy, then
like
we
us.
Can say all things we want to say too.
Butts.
Speaking
butts,
of butts,
butts.
Quizlet Corner is about butts in some ways.
Okay. All right, let's do it. I'm ready.
Actually,
I'm
there's
ready.
A lot of butts up in this Quizlet Corner. Yeah. No, I'm so serious. There is a whole lot of butts up in Quizlet Corner. All right. One of these is not true. Here we go.
Okay. I'm ready.
Two burglars were sodomized for 5 days straight after breaking into the house of a notorious gay rapist.
Oh my God, this is dark. I thought we were going to get into some like fun, light butts. This is dark butts.
Okay, could be true, could not be true. Dark butt corner. A cinnamon roll can explodes inside a man's butt during a Las Vegas shoplifting incident. Could be true. Could not be true.
There really are a lot of butts in this.
I wasn't lying. It just sort of happened. All right. A non-butt one. An elementary school teacher under fire for using her students in racist Instagram post.
She needs to not do that.
It could be true and it could not be true. Surprise! No females of color have been called in for the new Han Solo movie. Could be true. Could not be true. Number five, the last one, an early draft of The Legend of Mulan centers the story around a white hero who falls for and saves Mulan.
Oh my God. I know which one is false.
Which one is false?
I know that the movie where they're
in? The Han Solo movie.
That's false because Zoe Kravitz was called in and so was Tessa Thompson.
Yes.
Yeah. Who's gonna be in Thor.
Which I was super stoked about. And Zoe Kravitz, she's been in a lot of different things here and there, so I'm into it.
She's sexy. Both of them are sexy. And funny story. When we went to go see Creed, the movie that had Michael B. Johnson in it and also Tessa Thompson, she had long braids and she was like a jazz singer. And we were like joking that they probably tried to get Zoe Kravitz, but they couldn't get her. So they got Tessa Thompson. And I hate to say that, but that's how Hollywood works. And she was totally being a Zoe Kravitz type in that movie.
Oh, see? Yeah, they're very close. And because Zoe Kravitz was also in... what's that movie with Charlize Theron? Mad Max.
Oh, yeah. She was in Mad Max. And she was in Divergent, which is like the poor man's Hunger Games.
Yeah. It was so much so that they didn't even finish the series. It was going to go. It's going straight to like Netflix.
TV. Yeah. And Shailene Woodward was like, nah.
She's like, I'm done. I'm good. She's like, good luck with that, y'all. I'm out of my contract. Bye. Yep. That is the one that is false. And Disney.
Which makes me sad about everything else.
Everything else is kind of sad. Yeah, Disney needs to get it together on that one note. The elementary school teacher, she was a 24-year, white.
Stop being
girl.
Racist, people.
She wrote, like, she was posting, like, weird things. And again, this is why, like, We need better teachers, y'all, and we need to pay them because this woman should not be a teacher. And she has, like, predominantly all black students, and she took a picture, and it was, like, with them, and it's, like, field day with my little assholes that I somehow still love. Hashtag fifth grade swag. Then she had another picture where she put a young black student in a sombrero and a mustache, and she wrote,
"Stop it.
This is an African-American Mexican. Hashtag happy Halloween." And then the last post she wrote was it was like a young black girl with a caption reading, "When all the kids and staff are questioning your lipstick as you flash the bitch, I'm cute as fuck face."
What is she teaching? Is she just what is she? Is she trying to become popular on the internet by saying these horrible, not funny, racist things? Like
I don't even know. And I think that someone had like posted, like tagged on one of her Instagram things. They're like, "I don't think this is appropriate for a teacher to be doing this." And she was like, "LOL, they're like 11 going on 18. Ha 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 ha."
Oh. See, that one friend was trying to be an ally and call her out, and she was like, "No, I'm not listening. I'm still going to be stupid." She needs to get her ass fired because you can't do that with children.
You can't.
And they're not funny.
It's not funny.
What? But I'm insulted that it's not funny.
We need better teachers. And also, this is the thing. Like, I would not be surprised if she is in the basket of deplorables. I would not be surprised if she was also voting for Donald Trump. And so this is what we need to find.
You know who I
want to
talk about, though?
Well, who?
That guy with the cinnamon bun can that exploded in his butt.
Okay, I'll end with
why
him.
Why do people put things in their butts? So why is that a thing? People do know. That.
So it was like this guy, Martin Klein. It was at a Walmart at 11 in the morning. And these two guys went to the bathroom for 20 minutes. They took all these things they wanted to steal and they put it in their butt. And the security guard came up to them and he was like, "Let me see what happened. Where's the stuff?" And they're like, "I don't know." And then what happened is one of the guys, I guess their mom was also there. And the guy gets like KY jelly and puts it in like the guy's, the security guard's face. And then the security guard falls on the guy and he hears this pop noise. And I guess, like, because he fell on him in the heat of his butt, it just made the can, like, pop. And he had to get, like, the EMT had to come and,
you know. And pull out the muffins from his butt.
And all, like, all the goo and stuff.
You know what this reminds me of?
What? Your trip to Vegas? Your own personal trip to Vegas?
No. I'm not trying to smuggle things up my butt. But because that just seemed like an unreliable space.
Yes.
And but in college, someone tried to do a pink moon, which means spread your butt cheeks open and put it on the glass.
Right, I remember the story.
And it busted on their butts. People, stop doing things that might be dangerous to your booty hole.
Your butt is a very sensitive area. It is good for a few things. It is good for
a few things. A massage. A handful of things.
Maybe a little, like a lick and a tickle or some other, but a few things. You can't go crazy
with your
butts.
You can poop.
And a poop. It's like maybe,
and a fart.
There's like maybe like three or four things. There's a short list of things that you can do with your butt. We'll post
it
on the post it on the website. I'm just kidding.
No, we won't.
Could you imagine the Minority Corner website? Four or five things that you can do with your butt. And everyone goes like look at it, they're like, "Oh, okay, oh, I can't do that with my butt. Oh, okay, no more waffles."
No wonder. We're like, I guess we are the most explicit.
Yeah,
show.
I guess we are explicit.
Welcome.
This is welcome y'all. Oh, and back to the two burglars who were sodomized by the notorious gay rapist.
This is fucked up.
Proving our point
good.
That I guess we are a very explicit podcast.
Oh my God.
Yeah,
I can't
his name was the
like
Wolfman.
Terrifying.
They fucked with the wrong guy. This guy named the Wolfman, he's like 6'7", 300 pounds, pure muscle. And these two career criminals who've stolen from hundreds of homes. He then like, and then like, I guess the neighbors like heard what was like after 5 days. And the
this
looks,
is scary.
The looks on those guys' faces, like the pictures when they were like rescued. And everyone's going to prison, like everyone involved. Is going to prison.
Yeah, it's all messed up. This is a sad, messed up
for everyone.
Tale of woe.
For everyone.
Rule number one, don't smuggle things in your butt.
Yes.
Rule number two, let's just not break into homes.
Oh, wait, we've got a lot of rules with this one. Okay, yeah, rule number one, don't break into homes. Don't smuggle shit up your butt. Don't tweet or social media any racist shit about your elementary school students. Yes. And Disney, you better not have no white man up in there saving Mulan.
No, Mulan can save herself.
And she should probably historically have an Asian love interest, just
considering
saying.
This was like in ancient China.
Yeah. All right, well, you won. Good job, Aneke.
Thanks, I guess.
That might have been the weirdest one since Greta Garbo.
That one, Greta Garbo.
Or Tony the Tiger. That one sent you for a loop.
Look those two Quizlets up, because those are gems.
Gems. That's Quizlet classic.
Yes, ooh, a Quizlet classic. Classic corner.
Ooh.
Hey, I'm Erin Gibson.
I'm Brian Safi.
And we host Throwing Shade, a weekly look at all the issues that are important to ladies and gays, and anybody else who cares about that stuff, and we make funnies.
Yeah. Either you care or you don't.
Wow. I am sweating in all of my body parts.
Why am I sweating too?
Because
what
we covered
happening?
A lot of information.
We did.
We covered so much information.
We did.
Oh my God.
Oh, okay. So, James.
Yes, Aneke.
Can I give out a couple of shout-outs?
Yes.
Okay, so last week we were like, who of y'all is a gold star listener? Is that what we said?
I was like, you know.
Oh, something.
Kooky cat, crazy kid, minority corner kid?
Yes.
I don't know. Yes. We haven't had an official title. I had one, and then I forgot it. Like,
well, one of them did a hashtag, but I didn't write it down.
Okay.
But it was Gold Star Listener, I think that's what it was.
Minority Quarter.
Like, listen to all 50.
Gold Star listeners. Who's in our Gold Star Listener Club?
Javier Bocanegra. He wrote a really nice thing about how he's binged our show and he loves it. And he is a corner kid to the max. We love you, Javier Bocanegra.
Corner kid to the max.
Yes. And that was on Facebook. So remember to go and like us on our Facebook page. Minority Corner with a K. Kristen Michelle. She's at Kristen Comath. Is the E silent, girl? I don't know. Let us know. Let us know if the E is silent
or not.
Tweet
it out. Spell it out. Like, sound it out. Sound it out in the Twitters. We also had Mia Hilt on Twitter at Superfeminist, spelled with a 3R. Rico Swartz at Rico Coco. And Superfan at the J McInnes. All up in that 50 gold star Minority Corner clip.
Okay, so that's that Twitter, which is at Minority Corner with a K. We make it easy for y'all.
We do.
And then I have to say I'm a little embarrassed to give this shout out now because we just spent a whole section talking about crazy things. But I am going to talk. I'm going to be a speaker in a class tomorrow.
Ooh, yay.
So I want to give a shout out to Perry Guevara's class. Guevara. I'm so sorry, Perry. I love you. You're the best. But your class, which is called the Pod Class.
Ooh.
Y'all, each of those wonderful students are writing about their own podcasts, and I'm going to come in there and talk to them a little bit about being a podcaster, how to find a topic, how to write about it, how to use tone, so on and so forth. So y'all, if you're still listening, we love you. Thanks for listening. You guys are great. I hope that you still use me as a librarian after you listen to this. I mean, y'all are adults.
You
so.
Look really concerned about this. And I'm
concerned.
We'll be at the Chicago Podcast Festival coming up in November. Tickets are on sale, I do believe. We will be performing November 18th at the Steppenwolf Theater. That's a Friday at 7 o'clock in the evening. We'll be there all weekend. So if you're in the Chicago area or just looking to go to Chicago for a weekend, come. It's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to be there. Hella other podcasts are going to be there, too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, like Bullseye with Jesse Thorne, who's another Maximum Fun show is going to be there. Black Girl Ohm, which is like going right what I talked about, where it's like women in self-care and meditation. I believe tickets cost $20. So go ahead. If you're in that area or going to be in that area, get those tickets.
All right. Well, I guess that's it. We'll off
that was
to see
a good. That was a good show, James. Thank you. Yeah,
absolutely. I'll see you next week, Lady Love, and I'll take you off that email list.
Okay, thanks.
All right, see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.